The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, Closing Day. In today's episode, it's featuring episode 117 with the Monopoly Brothers. And so what's so dope about the episode is that they're going to talk about what it's like to close on a multi-unit deal to the tune of 52 units and what it takes to get it all done. And so tap in, because it's going to be a really, really good one. Episode 117, the Black Real Estate Dialogue, Closing Day with the Monopoly Brothers. Let's get it.
When it comes to like large deals like this, so right, like a single family or something, right? It's cash flow, right? You're looking at the cash flow. Does it cash flow? Now with something as large as like 50 plus units, is it that simple, or are some of the factors you mentioned things you take into account? Is it more than just the cash flow that you consider or after repair value or something? Is it different things that you consider at that size?
Yeah, so not always, no, because like I say, in situations when it's a value add, you know that the owner is not getting the cash flow that they should be getting. It could be because they're not charging market rent, it could be because they don't have a laundry facility and they're not able to increase income coming into the property as well as the rents. It could be that their loan is at a 6-8% rate, and you know you can get it at a 3.5 or 4 or 5, you know, five. There could be a lot of different factors that will allow you to increase income or decrease expenses that will create what you want for your cash flow. I don't know. And a lot of times, like I hear these conversations about that in single family, people are really focused on cash flow. In multifamily, I feel people are more so focused on the appreciation of the product. The actual property,
yeah,
being able to buy it at a certain level, because that's where you make your money typically, is when you refi or you sell the property. The cash flow is good, but you really make your money when it's time to refi or when it's time to sell it. So
On top of that, Eric, just to jump in,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, my bad.
No,
I was gonna just say it's also a business too. I think that's another thing that, so it's like the two other things that's like, I guess what makes it different is, one, obviously everybody looks for cash flow. That's any business looks for cash flow, right? Single family, you gotta look for cash flow. But like you said, in multifamily, it's really a business. Like it actually is like a real business. So that's why we got to pull a trailing 12. That's why we have these certain underwriting numbers. And then when you start bringing in investors, you really got to know not only cash flow, but like what's the ROI? Right? What's the cap rate? What's the, you know, like, is there looking at more numbers because there's usually investors with you? You may be getting money from them, and then it is operating like a business. So that's why we're looking for value add, because just like any business, you want to make the business more, what's the word? More valuable, or to make the business, worth more, is you got to increase the income and decrease the expenses, right? So it's not like a single family home where we're hoping for the market to make our properties higher, right? So like when the last 3 years the market has jumped dramatically higher, right? Because of just supply and demand, right? That's pretty simple. In multifamily, you can literally over time just make the property, aka the business, worth more simply because you make the numbers, because you increase the income and decrease the expenses. So like you actually have so much more control over multifamily property because it's treated like a business where you can kind of run it like one. And you're not really, it's not going to really be hindrance on what the market conditions are as much as a single family.
Got it. Got it. So definitely sounds like a different way of seeing it. So, you know, you get through all the paperwork, get through all the due diligence, talking to the investor, the team and so forth. And you get to the day where everything is done and you all own the property. Talk to us about that. Talk to us about just getting to that point and, you know, really what it felt like, because we started a long time ago, but you know, the most recent event is you went to this conference, to this mastermind, and you're like, yo, we got to make this happen. So when you finally did make it happen, we'd love to take me to that day.
I don't know about Eric, man. It still don't feel right to this day. I'll say this, like the day, I'm not even trying to, I swear, like the day we closed, first of all, I'm gonna let Eric tell his part. First of all, this is like the smoothest transaction I've done, which is kind of crazy because me and Eric have done multiple deals by ourselves together, different things. And this was just like one of the smoothest transactions we had, which was crazy in itself. But the other part was like leading up to that week, I swear Eric was like, I don't want to hear nothing until it's closed. So like, because Eric had that, like, you know what, like, I want to make sure this is like good. I kind of like suppressed my like, not like in a bad way. I just like held in my excitement. And then once we closed, I was still like, all right, I'm going to get a few more days and make sure this is real. And then it finally became real. Then like we got to work right away. So I feel like I don't know if we did anything, but I just feel like we got right to work. And it's just like, since ever then, but I felt like I tried to be excited, but it was just such a monumental thing. I was kind of speechless for a while, but now it's just like business. Now I'm just kind of focused on the next one. But at that moment, it was like just a weird feeling through.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's still surreal. It's almost still like it's not something that's real. It's real. It's because, I don't know. It's just, when you think about, and one of the reasons why we created the brand is because of that. It was like, we didn't think that we would say that we're owners of a 52 unit apartment building in a Class A neighborhood right outside of Detroit. That's not something that we thought, at least I didn't think that. There was always the plan to own some, you know, apartments, but never thought it would be like this. And leading up to it, yeah, I've dealt with so much stuff in single family. I was like, until it's closed, it's not closed. Like I just, and then like Jamil said, it was moving so smooth throughout the process. I was like, you know that it's too good to be true type of feeling? Mm-hmm. It was like that. It was like, this is moving way too smooth. Like how we, like I say, how, like literally what we talked about, going to the meeting, coming home, cold calling 2 or 3 weeks later, getting a phone call from the guy who owns it, a week or two later, getting on the call, you know, we're underwriting it. And then 2 weeks or so after that, we have a purchase agreement signed. And then we're doing inspections and, you know, surveys and, you know, all kinds of things. Like, just the process was like, and then to think like this, we purchased this building, this apartment building for $5.6 million. Like, just to, all that combined, like how it came about and how it's closed, like it was just surreal. And like I say, I honestly didn't feel like it would move that smoothly. And then the day of, I was in Chicago. I was literally in Chicago and I got the email that everything was closed. And I just stopped like, is this real? And I hadn't heard from Jamil. So I had to call him like, bro, did we actually close this? And he's like in the same type of just kind of disbelief. Like, honestly, I cannot explain it. I cannot explain it. It still feels surreal to me. Like, I still don't, like I'll be in just mid conversation with people and we'll be talking about different things. Like, don't you own an apartment? I was like, oh yeah, I do. Like, it's still like, like I said, it's no way to describe it other than just being surreal, honestly.
And so with deals of this size, like you have to have like a on-site property manager. Is that right?
Yeah.
Got it.
So and honestly, and that's the benefit of multifamily. It's like you need a team of people. Like Jamil and I, we're asset managing it. So we're like, we're handling, you know, certain things within the rehab, particularly on the exterior of the apartment buildings. Then we have another guy that's kind of managing like the interior rehabs of the actual units. And we got another guy that's, you know, he's like kind of above everything in terms of like he oversees it and he's the person that handles all the financials. Then we got other member that kind of sources other things and builds the relationships with the property managers. So it's like and then on top of that, we have just capital partners that are just, you know, they're strictly just passive in the deal. So that's like the beauty of multifamily, honestly, is that it's usually a team of people and it's a way that everyone can get to a common goal. And you just figure out what role you can play to make sure that you benefit the team. So, yeah.
Definitely. And what's it been like for you two just managing that part of it? Like, I think you mentioned the exterior rehab, like what's that been like? Especially on something of this size, right? I mean, I'm sure you've done countless like 1 to 4 units, but what is it like, you know, managing that for something that, of this size?
It's crazy even that's going pretty good. I mean, the fire thing about, like you said, about multifamily, I'm realizing it forces you to play, especially for me, not so much Eric. If you ever look at Eric's like rehabs, they're flawless, right? I'm like a guy that I'm trying to save every penny kind of guy. Yeah. And I'm trying to like, you know, like especially in Detroit, man, I'm trying to like finagle everything, right? So when you go to multifamily, you can't do any of that, right? You need like people got to be licensed and bonded and insured. You need like, you know, you want to have people that's done a lot of work. So I'm working with very high level contractors.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.